Welcome to House State Affairs. It's Thursday, February 6th, 3:02 p.m. Madam Secretary, what do you call the roll?
Representative Shaw. Representative Hopkins.
Here.
Representative Story. Representative Thompson.
Here.
Representative Vance.
Madam Secretary, I think Representative Vance is on the phone. I'm not sure how that affects the... Representative Vance, can you just say here or something like that?
I am here online.
Thanks.
Representative Fields?
Here.
Representative Price Duncan?
Here.
And Representative Story is here as well, Madam Secretary. Representative Josephson is in the room as well. Please silence your cell phones. Thank you, Martha Moore, our House Records Keeper, and moderator Madison Truitt. This is the second hearing for House Bill 198, Aggravating Factors at Sentencing, introduced by Representative Josephson and Knopp. If the sponsor doesn't have further remarks, then we will go to an amendment of Representative Vance, who will be offering her amendment over the phone. Following discussion on the amendment, we'll take public testimony, and there will be committee discussion, and see about the will of the committee in moving this legislation. So, Mr. Josephson, do you have a statement before going to the amendment?
A brief one.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Andy Josephson, House District 17, the sponsor of the bill. Just a couple updates on things that have happened just in the last 48 hours that I've learned or otherwise. First of all, Representative Vance had asked a question that was more of a statement, and I wanted to comment on it. And I'm paraphrasing just a little bit here, but she asked in her last comment, she said, if we are imposing this on a jury, we need to define certain terms. Otherwise, it's a heavy burden on our citizens. It's our job to provide the scope of what this legislation's intent is. And I just wanted to mention that the job of a juror is already very difficult. They already have to decide, for example, did someone intend to pull the trigger or did the gun just go off by accident, right? And there's nothing in the law that really helps them. They just have to use their judgment. So, and again, as I said, the other terms in subsection 22 on hate, effectively our hate crimes code, aren't defined. So I don't think the burden is any greater than in the other cases. Another thing is I noted, oddly, that the courts actually sometimes use Webster's Dictionary when they're at a loss. And I ran a search since 1960 in the court system and asked the search engine, how many times have they done that? And the answer was 316. Interestingly, they did it in the Willikowski decision. The other thing I wanted to mention is that yesterday, the Kenai, we don't have the final copy, but the Kenai City Council did the same thing as the Soldotna City Council and said, effectively, we need to take take legislative action. And then finally, the committee will receive a letter from the legislative liaison and Assistant Attorney General Casey Schroeder. I wrote her and I asked about the use of the word sex in Section 22 and whether she thought that could be infused with broader meaning that would cover the goals of this bill. And essentially, I don't want to mischaracterize her comment, but I think one would read her comment to suggest that it very well may not. She says that she doesn't know how the court would rule. She implies that prosecutors don't try to do that. Now, granted, this wouldn't come up very often, but the essence of her comment is that it's sort of unlikely. And then I would like to comment on the amendment if it's offered, because I have further comments to make.
Do we have a copy of the amendment?
I believe, thank you, Representative Josephson. I believe there are copies of the amendment in your binder. If not, we can distribute it. I think at this time, Representative Vance, do you want to offer your amendment?
Yes, I propose amendment number one.
Okay, I'll object. And Representative Vance, do you want to discuss your amendment?
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Rep. Josephson, for considering my questions and researching them. I think it's important for the record that we're able to have a robust discussion on this, so I thank you for doing that. Regarding my amendment, it adds the word pregnancy to this list of aggravating factors. Pregnant women have been targeted for carrying the child in their womb to the extent that it is, depending on the year that you look at, the second and third leading cause of death among pregnant women. And whether it's because the woman doesn't want an abortion or that an intimate partner doesn't want responsibility of a child or wants to cover an affair, there's various reasons but that pregnant women are targeted solely with the intent of killing the unborn child in her womb. And it was a much larger number than I had originally thought. And so my emotions led me to believe that this group of people should receive extra protections under the law. But I soon realized that so many crimes will be eligible for hate crimes, hate crime treatment, that those victims who are not covered will perhaps rightly feel discriminated against. And I remembered that all human life is precious. All crimes against humanity should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But if justice is blind, why are we requiring the judge and jury to examine if the person falls into a certain class of people? Our Constitution states that all men are created equal, and our society's been working to ensure that all are treated equally under the law. So why would we continue to propose legislation that treats some more equal than others? On what basis do we conclude that one crime gets singled out for extra penalties but not others? I want to recognize the sensitivity of so many of these crimes and so many people who feel that they are not getting protected. The crime that happened on the peninsula is a terrible crime, and we should prosecute it to the full extent of the law. But when do we stop, as Rep. Shaw stated in the past committee hearing, when do we stop adding these? I feel for the pregnant women who have been attacked simply because they are carrying that child in their womb. But when I began to examine where my emotions were leading me, it was not in support of what our Constitution guarantees in our 14th Amendment of equal justice under the law. So I choose at this point to withdraw my amendment, and I would like to speak to the bill at the future time when we have that fuller discussion.
Okay, Representative Vance, thank you for that explanation. And if you're able to stay online, I guess we were planning on taking public testimony first, but if you have scheduling conflicts, I wouldn't object to hearing your comments now.
Do you want to make an offer to Amendment 1?
And the Amendment 1 has been withdrawn.
Yes.
Okay. So if you're able to stick around, let's do public testimony, although I think first Representative Josephson wanted to say something.
I'm of two minds, and I'll do whatever you wish. On the first hand, there is the approach that there is no amendment, and so there's nothing to discuss.
Correct.
Fair enough. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Representative Josephson. Does anyone in the room wish to offer public testimony on the underlying bill, House Bill 198? Seeing none, I'm going to go to the Kenai LIO first. Tammy Willis, are you on the line?
Hello, my name is Tammy Willis. I'm currently residing in Sedalia. On November 14th, I found a note on my truck. It said, "Dumbass dyke, we don't want your gay libtard ass shit here, so take it somewhere else before you get hurt." And I do apologize for my language. On November 22nd, an object was thrown at my truck, shattering my windshield. I later learned Sedalia police found a rock with the word dyke written on it at the location where this happened. On December 9th, things escalated to include an assault in my home where I was repeatedly cut with a knife and punched until almost my entire left side was covered in bruises. It took 20 staples and 2 stitches to put me back together and almost a month for the bruises to disappear. Still, I was lucky that morning because a power outage made it difficult for my assailant to see me. Otherwise, the outcome would have been, without a doubt, much worse for me. Since the assault, I've left my home in Sterling and moved to the residence hall at Kenai Peninsula College where I work. I rarely go out alone anymore, and when I do go, it's for very short trips and usually in the company of a friend. I don't sleep well, I have panic attacks in the dark, and I still wake my wife up with my nightmares. Since coming forward with my experiences, I've also learned the hard way why people often don't come forward with their stories. The outpouring of hatred seen on social media since my coming forward cuts just as deep as the knife did. With every news story, every time I testify, every time I take a stand against what happened, there's a new outpouring of hate rhetoric and attempts to dismiss my experiences altogether. At the same time, there's been an outpouring of support from people all over Alaska and from here in the community where I was hurt. The support was most clearly demonstrated on January 4th when close to 200 people showed up to a town hall to discuss the safety of the LGBTQ community. Religious leaders, community leaders, state leaders, and a room packed full of community members showed me that there were more people willing to take a stand against hate than I ever imagined. They came and they listened with their hearts open as members of the LGBTQ community and their allies shared their stories of bullying, harassment, violence, prejudice, and loss due to the issues related to sexual orientation and gender identity. As a result of listening with hearts open, people came to understand that my experience is not the exception, and the reality of many LGBTQ people living in Alaska includes living with fear, harassment, and a threat of violence. In an ideal world where everyone is treated with respect and dignity, legislation like HB 198 and HB 82 would not be needed, but our world is not there yet. Until it is, HB 198 sends a clear message from our leaders that hate and violence are not the values we share as a community. They are not Alaskan values, and they will not be tolerated. Thank you for listening to me, and thank you for your support of this important legislation. It means a lot to me personally as a member of the LGBTQ community.
Well, thanks for your courage in continuing to speak out, Ms. Willis. I'm going to go down to Leslie Bird at the Kenai LIO. Ms. Bird, are you online?
Hello, thank you. While this is by no means an anti-discrimination act, it is a step in the right direction and the closest thing that Alaska has to hate crime laws. I've heard many people arguing that this legislation is unnecessary and gives one group special treatment over the others, but it doesn't. Though the added words gender identity and sexual orientation are typically associated with the LGBTQ community, every person on earth has these characteristics, just as they have sex, age, ability, race, and other protected classes. There is literally nothing for anyone to lose with HB 198 other than the time spent arguing on it and the perpetrators of these violent acts. Folks may say we don't need these laws and that they don't see race or gender, and what does it matter? We're all human. Ultimately, that is correct. We are all human. But until we start acting like it, we do need these types of laws. Just because a cisgender heterosexual person doesn't see the harm and violence committed towards LGBT folks does not mean it's not happening. Passage of this bill would acknowledge and validate the experiences of these marginalized people. Society tends to act in reflection of their shared values, especially when displayed by their leaders. So please lead us in a positive, inclusive direction. This type of crime is targeting one person because of their protected class, and it's meant to instill fear in members of that class who were not attacked, which is another reason why it's so important that we include these in our aggravating laws. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie Bird. David Brighton, are you online at the Kenai LIO? And let the record reflect, Representative Shaw is present as well. I should have said that earlier.
Yes, my name is David Brighton. I'm speaking in favor of this legislation, speaking on behalf of myself. I think there's some confusion as to why so many of us feel that this legislation is important. I've heard several people suggest that this is an attempt to make someone more equal, to air quotes there. I believe that the laws that we create are in order to deter things that we don't want to see in society, violence. And when there is an increased likelihood of violence as we see against the LGBTQ community, creating legislation and laws, punishments that would deter that is an appropriate measure to take for our government. As a member of the LGBTQ community, I have become aware of the violence around my community. At the last planning session for Pride in the Park in Soldotna, I left, and it was a surprising feeling as I looked over my shoulders. I looked around to see if there was someone that I believe intends violence upon our community in this municipality. And so I drove home, and I kept looking in my rearview mirror, wondering if someone was going to target me. That's not something that anyone in our society should go through. I would urge you all to please support this and pass this legislation to deter prejudiced actions against any person in our society, but specifically the LGBTQ community.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Bryden, for your testimony. We have a couple of people in the Anchorage LIO, and after the Anchorage LIO, we'll go to off-net testifiers. Lily Spiroski, are you online at the Anchorage LIO? Lily Spiroski, are you online?
Hi, I'm here. Sorry about that. My name is Lily Spiroski. You can hear me, right?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead with your testimony.
I'm the former youth representative on Anchorage's assembly. I'm also an 18-year-old Alaska Native bisexual person from Anchorage. I was born, raised, and still lived in Mountain View. At the age of 11, I realized that I wasn't straight. I started to come out to my peers and my friends, but slowly that turned into bullying and harassment from other peers and people from school. I went to my principal, I went to teachers. They didn't do anything about it because it was harassment on the basis of that I didn't like or I didn't fully like men. And I thought that was ridiculous, that I wasn't protected because of my sexuality. And it's insane to me that in 2020, I'm still reading articles about community members and activists from the LGBT community being assaulted and being harassed because of who they like, what they identify as. And I'm proud to belong to the LGBTQ community. I embrace the community. I love what we do in Anchorage and all over Alaska, but the fact that we don't feel safe and that we're not protected by our hate crime laws it's pretty old school in my opinion. So I'm looking for y'all to pass this amendment to it, and I really hope that it does pass for our safety and for future generation safety. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Spiroski. It looks like Brenna Sherwin is no longer online at the Anchorage LIO, but I want to give Ms. Sherwin a chance. Ms. Sherwin, are you online? Okay, at this time we're going to go to off-net testimony. Triada Stampus, are you online?
Good afternoon. My name is Triada Stampus. I am the policy director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska, the ACLU. And I am testifying to urge you to take a more comprehensive approach to providing safety and protection against discrimination for LGBTQ Alaskans than HB 198 currently does. We are in the current form neither supporting nor opposing the bill, but instead are asking you to make specific improvements. As I think you heard in prior testimony already, the incidence of discrimination against LGBTQ Alaskans goes much farther and is much more pervasive in daily life than simply in the commission of violent crimes. And while the inclusion of LGBT people in our existing hate crime law makes some important statements, first, it reflects the unfortunate and unacceptable reality that LGBT people in Alaska are targeted for hate-motivated crimes simply for who they are. And I think acknowledging that is important. And it also sends the important message that crimes motivated by this bias merit the same community condemnation as those motivated by other forms of bias that are already in hate crimes laws. So the spirit of inclusivity that has prompted this bill is a good thing. The incarceration-only approach that's being proffered, however, will not make LGBT people safer, nor will it protect LGBTQ Alaskans from the discrimination that they face in their everyday life. And so, first, on the issue of safety, a large body of research related to crime deterrence shows that increasing the severity of punishment does little to actually deter crime, and this is a conclusion that the U.S. Department of Justice has reached. Criminals generally don't know very much about the penalties associated with their specific crime, so they do not calibrate their behavior accordingly. So a longer term of incarceration generally isn't shown to deter other people from committing those similar crimes. Instead, the research shows that longer prison sentences lead to a greater likelihood of recidivism. So, you know, it can have the unintended opposite effect. The research does show that the certainty of being caught and punished is a much more effective deterrent than the severity of the punishment. So individuals, you know, that means individuals won't commit a crime if they believe that they're going to be caught for the crime. In addition, imprisonment is a very limited and usually counterproductive means of addressing the social disorders that lead to crime. This doesn't do anything to address the underlying causes of bias-based violence, and addressing those causes would create greater conditions for safety for LGBTQ people. In addition, research shows that LGBTQ individuals are disproportionately likely to experience poverty, food insecurity, homelessness, and particularly youth homelessness. Yet LGBTQ Alaskans lack state-level protections against discrimination in housing, employment, financial services, and public accommodation. So limiting this approach sends a very confusing message. That it is okay to discriminate in housing against LGBT people, in employment, in financial services, in public accommodations, and the only moment when Alaskans care is if a violent crime has been committed. Packaging it all together provides a much more comprehensive and thoughtful approach towards how LGBT people can have a lived experience that is free of discrimination and protected from discrimination. So we encourage you to pursue a more comprehensive approach than HB 198 in its current form. And the elements of that more comprehensive approach, we would argue, would include the civil non-discrimination protections currently in HB 82. Dedicated law enforcement liaisons to the LGBTQ community in every region of the state, alongside law enforement training on the forms of discrimination that LGBTQ people experience, so that it increases the likelihood that and the preparedness of law enforcement to identify and be able to catch perpetrators of bias-related crimes by having eyes and ears in the community. And a prevention model that includes educational programs starting with anti-bullying measures in schools, but focused on promoting respect and tolerance for difference, as well as community-based anti-violence programs. That is our position. We are encouraged by your legislative and oversight attention to this matter, and we hope that you will expand the approach you're taking to provide more comprehensive protections to LGBTQ Alaskans. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Raymond Lee, are you online?
Hello, my name is Raymond Lee. I'm currently in Wasilla. I I am a trans man. I started my transition in Alaska, and I am still in that process. Throughout that entire process, I have been discriminated against in doctor's offices. I've been discriminated against in insurance offices. I've been discriminated against with police officers pulling me over and seeing that my gender marker in the system is not the same as the one on my driver's license, because Alaska does not automatically switch those over. You have to go and do not the DMV, but another place that just requires you to do that separately. And even though I have not been attacked physically yet, we LGBT people experience these attitudes all throughout various professions in Alaska, and it makes one wonder what that entails when someone is willing to act on those discriminatory perspectives. And in fact, Tammy Willis unfortunately found out at the end of last year. And it is important to realize that according to the ACLU, there about 4% of Alaskan adults identify as LGBT, and that is about 20,000 people, and that is just the people who are willing to admit in that survey that they are LGBT. And we need protection that we are lacking several laws that, in terms of housing protections, in terms of just basic criminal protections, or protections against violence, I should say. Sorry, I'm not particularly good at public speaking. My apologies. But the point is that we are taxpaying Alaskan citizens. We are human beings. We need to be considered. We need to recognize that even the FBI considers hate crime laws imperative. They were originally created in the late 1900s to counteract the Ku Klux Klan's racist activities and behavior and violence. And this violence is carried over to LGBT people as well. We experience it every day, not just in Alaska, all over the world. And we need to do, we as a society need to do better. We need to include LGBT people in not only in HB 198, but as was already said, in hate crime laws in general. And Alaska just needs to do better with its hate crime laws in general. We need to, as a state, be reporting hate crime laws. We need to teach the police how to recognize and report hate crime laws. We need to be included in those statistics, so people can, so authorities can know how to handle those special needs, because hate crimes are not the same across, or are not exactly the same with race and nationality and everything else. With LGBT people, we're all going to have our own special needs and specialities in recognizing what those hate crimes look like and what they result in. But the FBI includes hate crime laws nationally because they are different from just an average murder. They are a terrorizing attempt to target an entire group of people specifically for their identity alone, not for particularly personal reasons necessarily, but for just who they are. And that is a threat to an entire group, not just a single individual. And as said, there are about 4% of Alaskan adults are LGBT identified, and that is a threat to at least 20,000 people. So thank you for your time. That is all I have to say.
Thanks, Raymond Lee. Is Vary DeSouvero online?
Hello, yes. My name is Vary DeSouvero, and I really want to thank this committee and the school co-sponsors for bringing forward this bill. My name is Zeri. I am gender fluid. My pronouns are they, them. I am a resident in Anchorage on Dena'ina land, and I just want to express my support for this bill. I am currently the executive director of an organization, and even with a position of relative power, I experienced discrimination that, again, has not yet turned violent, but I am afraid for my safety. I am afraid to disclose who I am to people, and I am really, really lucky compared to many who do not have the same benefits afforded to me. I don't have many other things to say besides my own experience as a person, but I encourage you all to pass this bill and to pass many more stronger bills as you continue to uphold rights of Alaskans to have their own disadvantages as they are living and trying to be successful residents in this state. This is not about making people, again, more equal. It's about recognizing systematic disadvantages against people as well as threats to people's livelihoods and lives. So thank you again, and I urge the quick passage of this bill as well as many more.
Thanks, Ms. DeSuvero. Not seeing anyone else in the queue. That will close public testimony. Is there committee discussion before we discuss? Yeah, anyone else in the room? Not seeing any. Is there committee discussion before we discuss moving this legislation?
Yes.
Okay. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Chair Fields, for recognizing me and allowing me to participate telephonically. I believe that this is important that we have this discussion openly, and I want to thank the people who called in to testify because I understand that it is a place of vulnerability to speak publicly and on record about crimes that have been committed against those of the LGBT community. And I want to recognize the sensitivity of that and thank you for participating because we do need your involvement. I want to recognize the vulnerability that all of us take in having conversations around sexual identity and gender expression. This is something that is not comfortable for us as a society to talk about. And those of us who are legislators also feel that we will be targeted in the discussions if we do not approach this with sensitivity. Because we need to work to respect each other regardless of our beliefs in our society. I want to address that the hate crimes are a slippery slope because if we flip the succession backwards, it gets down to beliefs. How someone chooses to believe, we become thoughts and then possibly speech and possibly crimes. And we tend to equate that if someone believes something that they will act upon that belief. Very easy assumption. But just because someone doesn't agree with political, religious beliefs, someone's sexual preferences, that doesn't automatically equate to them having to it being hate. It doesn't automatically equate to being hate speech or hate crimes. In some cases, it does, but not in all cases. And when we have legislation that criminalizes our thoughts and our beliefs and our speech, we are violating our First Amendment rights of freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and ultimately, our 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that's even carried above the entrance of the U.S. Supreme Court that says equal justice under the law. I don't want to diminish the experiences of the LGBT community or anyone else that has had discrimination or crime perpetrated against them. All acts against humanity is wrong because all life is precious. We should deal with those crimes. But I cannot support this bill because it is segregating out different groups of people of having additional penalties. And as a woman, I can say that it shouldn't matter who the crime is committed against, because crime against against humanity is wrong. And I know that there are other colleagues and people who disagree with that, and that's okay. I respect where you are in this. But I want us to recognize that we are going down a dangerous road of being against our Constitution, where we have promoted that justice is blind, because we want justice equally distributed for everyone. And this is what I want. This is not just an LGBTQ issue. This applies to every American. And I want us to recognize that when we go down this road, we are eventually going to discriminate against people who are not included in these groups. And that will be something that we would have to address in the future if we continue adding to special groups in the proposed legislation. So thank you for allowing me to participate telephonically and being vulnerable in this conversation. But I hope it's one that we can continue to have in a respectful way as Alaskans.
Thanks, Representative Vance. Is there further committee discussion? Representative Christ-Tompkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate Representative Vance's comments, and it sounds to be more a philosophical hesitation against the notion of sort of hate crimes categorically. And I mean, I think there's a conversation there. And I mean, I thought the ACLU testimony, there was good points there as well. I mean, I think to some extent, given that there's been sort of a societal decision, not just in Alaska, but pretty much across the country, that hate crimes and what they represent, which is effectively community condemnation, is a component of our justice system, is an appropriate sanction, and that's already in our laws and something we do, that this measure feels appropriate to me. But the previous comments are heard and noted.
Thanks, Representative Christ-Tompkins. I just want to thank Representatives Josephson and Knopp for collaborating and for putting a proposal before the committee that is responsive to the will, apparently, of an entire community in Alaska. So with that, do we have a motion?
Or do we have a wrap-up?
Sorry, does the sponsor wish to make any closing comments? Okay. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 198, version 31-LS1369/M from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Not hearing any objections, that motion passes, and we are so with that, House Bill 198 is reported from the State Affairs Committee. We're going to take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Following the at-ease, we will return to House Bill 182, Sexual Assault Examination Kits Testing, by Representative Tarr. We're at ease. Back on the record in House State Affairs for House Bill 182, Sexual Assault Examination Kits Testing, by Representative Tarr. This is the second hearing in House State Affairs, and at this time we'll be adopting a working document for purposes of discussion. Can I have a motion to adopt a working document of House Bill 182?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that the House State Affairs Committee adopt the original version of this bill, which has, I believe, a six-month waiting period, as the working document for House Bill 182, as opposed to the sponsor substitute, which is the current working document. So my motion is that we adopt House Bill 182 version 31-LS1188-A as our working document.
Are there any objections? Not seeing any. The committee adopts House Bill 182 version 31-LS1188-A as our working document. And I don't, does the sponsor wish to make any remarks on the bill at this time? Okay, well, I have an amendment to the bill, so I move amendment number one. Not seeing any objections.
Object for discussion.
Okay, so amendment one is pretty simple. It replaces the effective date 2020 with 2021, giving the department time to implement this bill.
Mr. Chair, I will withdraw my objection to amendment number one.
Okay. Is there further objection to amendment one? Not. Yep. Not seeing any. Amendment one passes. At this time, we're going to go to public testimony, and Katie, actually, I guess I should, I'll go to Katie Botts. Are you on the line?
Good afternoon, sir.
Okay, please proceed with your testimony, and if you could limit your testimony to 3 minutes, I would appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the honorary members of the Senate Affairs Committee. I am in full support of this bill as a victim of sexual abuse. I've said previously that we need to be victim-oriented and to have a one-year extension for a rape kit to be tested and then sent back to the court as not being victim-oriented, only because forces the victim to be re-victimized over and over again. So this bill is now down to a six-month process, which I appreciate Representative Pryor for bringing it forward. I just want to respectfully ask all of the legislators to be victim-oriented. That's the only way that you'll be able to fix the crime laws and you'll be able to fix any problems. So I do support this, and I appreciate allowing me to testify.
Thanks, Ms. Potts. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify on House Bill 182? Not seeing any, that closes public testimony for House Bill 182. Does the sponsor wish to make wrap-up remarks before the committee takes action on this legislation? Okay. Is there committee discussion on the legislation? And I think we still have Representative Vance on the line. I hope so, in case she wants to weigh in on this bill. Okay. Not seeing any discussion. Mr. Co-Chair, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 182, version 31-LS1188-A, as amended, with amendment number one from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Not seeing any. That motion passes. The House State Affairs Committee has passed House Bill 182, and following adjournment, we'll sign the paperwork. And that concludes today's hearing. Thanks again to Martha Moore, our records keeper, and LIO moderator Madison Truitt. Our next scheduled meeting is Tuesday, February 11th. And before we adjourn, I want to turn to my co-chair for comment.
Thank you, Chair Fields. And I just wanted to put on the record, Representative Fields and I have been working on this, but next Tuesday, Department of Environmental Conservation will be presenting legislation on the Ocean Ranger and cruise ship vessel discharge monitoring program. And what is noticed is the governor's bill from last session, which is a complete repeal of the program. And I think for the committee's reference, wanted to note before we adjourn that DC is going to be presenting a committee substitute that is not a complete repeal of the program, but rather an overhaul and modification. And so just when we're looking at the notice, one might think, oh, we're about to hear the repeal bill, but there's a committee substitute forthcoming, and that will get distributed to members as soon as is available. So just for the additional context, wanted to flag that.
Thanks, Representative Christ Tompkins. And yes, if anyone in the public is watching and wondering what the background is here, this is something where we've been talking to the administration for more than half a year to see if we can come to consensus around modernization of the Ocean Rangers program. So thanks for that, and we'll take that up on Tuesday. With that, House State Affairs is adjourned at 3:52 p.m.